This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. It's official. All adults in every U.S. state can now receive a COVID vaccine. The last states expand their eligibility requirements today, marking a deadline President Biden set earlier this month. The CDC reports that half of all American adults have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Roughly a third are fully vaccinated. According to the New York Times, if we maintain our current pace, the United States could reach herd immunity by July. But is keeping up the pace something we can really do? Or will vaccine hesitancy cause a massive slowdown in the months ahead? Here to bring us up to speed and answer your questions is Dan Diamond. He's a health policy reporter with The Washington Post. Dan, it's always great to have you on.
Jen, glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
So give us a bird's eye view of the distribution effort. How far are we from herd immunity?
Well, the rollout is going well in the United States. More than half of adults have gotten their first shot, as you said. About a third are considered fully vaccinated, which means they either got the J&J single shot or they've gotten both Pfizer and Moderna doses. The elderly are particularly well protected, over 80% of Americans ages 65 and up. So that's all good. And yes, all 50 states have made adults over the age of 16 eligible as of today. So it doesn't mean you'll be able to get an appointment today, but you're allowed to. And in some states, the rollout has gone particularly well, and we're trying to figure out what those lessons are to export to the states that are falling behind.
At this point, who are the key holdouts, both geographically and demographically?
Well, a lot of the geographic holdouts, interestingly enough, are lining up with states that were more favorable to President Donald Trump. And whether that's because folks in those states are dealing with operational challenges. They might be more rural states that don't have as many providers. The vaccine might not be as widely distributed. That could be an issue. We do know, though, that many Republicans are hesitant to get the vaccine. And I've been doing some stories on that, have an upcoming story, too, on why some Republicans say they just don't want the shot. They don't trust the media. They think that this is something that Democrats have used for political advantage. So that's unfortunate, and that remains a big driver of hesitancy. There has also been some hesitancy in communities of color, though there have been a number of efforts to increase access to pharmacies and other distributors in those communities and raise awareness overall of why getting vaccinated against COVID is a good thing.
There's been an ongoing question about how much, especially for communities of color, vaccine hesitancy is at work and how much of it is about vaccine equity. Is that something states are still struggling with?
That is an issue, and that's a great point. So the question is it people don't want to get the shots, or they don't have easy access to get the shots, or they have just general concerns about the shots that are being made available to them? And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is single shot, it's hard to compare efficacy across multiple vaccines, but there is a perception among some that the Moderna and Pfizer shots are better. That perception's been heightened by the pause recently on J&J, and some folks have been concerned that the Pfizer and Moderna shots may not be going to communities of color at the same rate that they're going to other communities.
Well, speaking of that Johnson & Johnson pause, Dr. Anthony Fauci is now saying he expects that pause to end by Friday. Bring us up to speed on what's happening there.
There is a committee meeting on Friday, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP. My colleague at the Post, Lena Sun, was telling us this morning it's going to be a six-hour extravaganza, so bring your popcorn. But this committee of scientists, they're going to be looking at the data around J&J, deciding whether the recent cases of blood clots are significant enough to warrant further investigation or to potentially allow the J&J vaccine to move forward again with new warnings or restrictions. It's a fraught issue in the medical community. On the one hand, there's praise for scientists, for review committees that are stopping to pause and make sure that this vaccine is safe. On the other hand, the number of blood clots is relatively low, and the extremely low, in fact, six cases out of more than 7 million Americans who got the shot, all six cases were women. So it raises the question every day that goes by, are we doing more harm to the vaccine effort by delaying rather than making this vaccine available again?
Well, we got this question from Mike, who asks, please explain the Biden deadline for states. What constitutional authority would require a state to meet this deadline?
So I assume this is the April 19th deadline that all adults over 16, age 16 and up, can get the vaccine. I think what's important to remember is that the president, whether it's President Biden, former President Trump, doesn't have a lot of authority in these situations, can make orders and issue deadlines, but states can sometimes flout them. In this case, we know my colleague Isaac Stanley Becker at the Post has been particularly good at this. The deadline that Biden set, he knew he was going to hit. At the point that he moved up the deadline, states had generally already said that they were going to make vaccines available. So it was a case of taking a political victory lap on something that states were already doing.
We're talking to Dan Diamond. He covers health policy for The Washington Post. Turning back to the J&J vaccine, we've seen a lot of comparisons between the risk of blood clots from, say, birth control and the risk of blood clots potentially from this vaccine. Is that a fair parallel to draw?
Well, I understand the thinking, Jen. I mean, the risk of blood clots from birth control is certainly higher than 6 cases out of more than 7 million when it comes to the vaccine. But these are different kinds of clots. I think that's important to call out. The clots generally linked to birth control are known as deep vein thrombosis. So that might be a clot that develops in someone's leg and then travels throughout the body, ends up in the lungs. And there is a standard course of care using blood thinners to treat those sorts of clots. The challenge is that the clots detected that appear to be tied to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, those can go to the brain, and treating them with the normal course of care may have actually made situations discovered recently worse. So one reason for the pause is because scientists wanted to figure out what are the best ways to treat these new blood clots and to make sure that if people are presenting, if the real number of blood clots is higher than the six cases that have been reported, that if new cases are presenting, doctors knew not to use the standard course of care and to have an alternate treatment set up.
Is there any conversation around pulling back on the J&J vaccine at this point? We're in a pause right now, but is there any conversation about pulling it back altogether?
There's no serious conversation of that. I think what's a good illustration is looking across the ocean to Europe, which dealt with a similar issue around the AstraZeneca shot, which uses a similar technology to Johnson & Johnson. There were blood clots detected there as well. Health experts in Europe ended up placing some restrictions on AstraZeneca. For instance, don't use the shot in people under 30 years old in the United Kingdom. So the shot was made available again after a pause, but there was a drop in confidence because people had read reports that the AstraZeneca shot was under this review. We're already seeing some signs that people have lost trust in the J&J vaccine because of this pause.
Let's shift to Pfizer and Moderna. Pfizer CEO said last week that he expects vaccine recipients will need another booster shot in a year, possibly annual booster shots after that. Moderna has indicated they're also looking into the need for boosters. What are these booster shots for? Is it to deal with the variants or to shore up vaccine efficacy?
Well, both. Though I will say, Jen, the Pfizer CEO's comments were made public last week. I believe he was actually interviewed about 3 weeks ago. Mm. So it's possible things have changed since he made the comments and they aired, but probably not. We probably will need follow-up shots of some kind, either because of holdouts who didn't get the vaccine initially, or maybe there will be these variants emerging that we'll have to be protected from. It's also possible that the shots that many of us are getting now might not be long-lasting enough in the months or years to come, especially if COVID will be endemic, if it will keep spreading around the world, keep mutating. But at the same time, I know that health experts are cautious about declaring that a booster is needed and when it will be needed. And they definitely don't want Pfizer or Moderna making the decision. They want CDC and FDA and other public health agencies making the call. And that's partly because we don't know for sure yet how long the immunity lasts from a shot that you got in March 2021, April 2021. And we don't know what variants might be circulating in the months ahead. And also, Jen, I know, having reported on vaccine-hesitant people, they're already unhappy, nervous about going to get a shot. Being told that they might have to get multiple shots over the course of years, that's a message that's not landing well with them right now.
Now, you've been reporting on some vaccine scams and misinformation that are making the rollout even more complicated. What's happening?
It's. I shouldn't be laughing. It's disturbing. But there is a bad trend of some Americans who don't want to get shots, but do want to get that paper vaccine proof card that you get when you get a shot. They want that card so they can go to a sporting event, so they can go to a business that might be saying, please provide proof of vaccination. And those cards are very easy to scam. If you have listeners who are following along with us and they've gone and gotten their shot, they know this. These are paper cards. There sometimes is no special stamp or proof that's really associated with them. They're very easy to duplicate. And I wrote a story in the Post, it's in today's print edition, about how some scammers are making their own paper cards. They're buying them off eBay. In one case, I traced one eBay account to a pharmacist in Chicago who'd sold through the account more than 100 blank cards to people around the country in the past few weeks. Now, the pharmacist denied that he did it, but regardless of whether he was actively doing it or someone had hijacked his account, this is happening, and it's going to create real problems for ensuring that people have vaccine protection.
So beyond the misinformation, briefly, what's the next big hurdle for the vaccine effort?
Well, I think the next big hurdle, Jen, is that we are getting to a point where so many people who wanted shots have gotten them or are going to be getting them soon. So what do public health officials do to get over the hump and get those holdouts to get shots in arms?
That's Dan Diamond. He reports on health policy and politics for The Washington Post. Dan, always a pleasure.
Jen, thanks for having me.
Coming up, it's been 60 years since someone other than a Castro led Cuba's Communist Party. Until now. We'll talk about what a new change in leadership will mean for the island. I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.